when we were singing that, one of my responsibilities here is I do counseling. I get the amazing opportunity to sit with people who are really going through some challenging times and walk them through, help them walk through to a place of healing. We have a God who can't lose. Amen. If that doesn't get an amen, we are dead. We have a God who cannot lose, who cannot lose a battle, because he is the creator of everything. There is no weakness in our God. There is no vulnerability in our God. He can't lose. Which means if we decide to operate on his terms, guess what that means for us? We can't lose. I get really, really excited when we talk about topics like forgiveness. Because so many of us get taken out at the knees day after day after day because we've not been able to forgive people who have hurt us. And that lack of forgiveness continues to hound us for years and years. And we have the answer. We have the ability to walk into forgiveness if we are willing to go there. And all of the emotional, moody mess that we live with, we don't have to. If we are willing to walk into this area of forgiveness, if I would ask for a show of hands, how many of you, and I'm not going to do this, but how many of you know that there are people in your life that you have not forgiven? Every hand in the room would go up. And maybe some of us have people that we know we need to ask forgiveness from. After Nikki spoke last week, by the way, how many of you were here last week? Here, Nick, wasn't that good? Oh, that was good. That was good. And there are a number of things that we're going to come back to that Nikki talked about. In fact, two of those are forgiveness is primarily between God and me. If we can get to a point in our relationship with God where we can begin to experience this idea of forgiveness and forgiving people, we have to recognize that this is primarily not between me and another person, even if someone else has harmed me and I need to forgive them. The issue is primarily between me and God. We need to be able to get there, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And the second part of this understanding is that forgiveness is a process. It is a process that has lots of decisions that need to be made throughout the process. And if we are willing to walk through a process, and if we are willing to act in obedience all through that process, we are going to experience a freedom that we have never thought possible if we are living in unforgiveness, if there's parts of us that are still bound up by unforgiveness. Okay, one of my best friends is the whiteboard. So how many of you have ever taken a sucker punch? All of us have, yes. All of us have in one way or another. We have taken sucker punches. I remember when I was about, fifth or sixth grade, my brother and I were playing out in our yard. We were playing, kickball or something. And we had an old Nerf soccer ball. Anybody remember Nerf balls? Those things lasted about a year until it started getting chunks out of it. Well, there was a kid in the neighborhood that was playing with us. And he was pulling our Nerf ball apart. You remember this? Yes, he does. He's smiling and laughing. Yes. So as we were playing, and this kid starts pulling our Nerf ball apart. So you can stop it, knock it off. And he's, well, yeah, make me. So I chose to say, I'm not going to fight you, and I turned away. Right. You know the end of that one. I get popped from behind, and fight's over. But sucker punches come in lots of different forms. They can be physical blows, but they can be lots and lots of spiritual and emotional blows as well. We can get gossiped about. We can have someone come to our face and say something that we weren't ready for. We can have a job change at work that we weren't ready for. There are all kinds of sucker punches that all of us go through. And all of those sucker punches will change us because they change the way we see reality around us. They change the way that we see ourselves. Oftentimes, sucker punches will leave us feeling shameful. I'm ashamed of myself because I wasn't able to protect myself. A sucker punch will sometimes leave me feeling anxious because when's the next one going to come? Who's going to hit me next? I'm looking over my shoulder. Who's coming at me now? These sucker punches that we deal with in our lives will change us. And we have to figure out what we're going to do when they come. And it's a whole lot better to have a plan in mind before we get sucker punched as to how am I going to deal with these things when they come. And then that sucker punch sets a whole set of events in motion that was never there in the first place. Now sometimes I have to sit facing a doorway because I don't know who's coming in the room. Sometimes those sucker punches force me to, as I lay down to sleep at night and the noises start happening in the house, now I'm wondering. These sucker punches sometimes cause me to struggle with intimacy with my spouse. They can bring anxiety. They can bring depression. Sucker punches last a long time, as long as they are, as they remain unresolved in my mind and in my heart. When resolution comes in the form of forgiveness, things change. So how do we heal from the emotional and psychological wounds that come from these deep hurts? A lot of us came up after the service last week and was asking, well, how do I do that? What's the model, or what's the formula? What's the tool? What I'm going to be sharing today is not so much a tool, it's more of this is what obedience looks like. How we work through a process of forgiving somebody. And it grows out of our relationship with God. The stronger our relationship with God is, the easier it is to begin to live into healing of these sucker punches. But the deeper the wound is, the harder it is to forgive. Forgiveness is a process. And let's look at this process. So I've got up here, has anybody seen this picture before? Yes, because we look at it a lot. This is a picture of what I believe the Bible calls as a stronghold. This is how the enemy is able to get into our minds and operate. He's able to control our emotions, our thoughts, and our actions based on these wounds that have never been healed. So what might this look like? We all have these traumatic events or these sucker punches that come. All of these events will have a group of emotions that surround them. If I get sucker punched, I'm going to feel emotions, right? Yes. I'm going to feel emotions. Some of those emotions might be anger, fear, shame, insecurity, embarrassment. And I would suggest as long as this wound remains unhealed inside of me, the emotions will remain as well. Now, unfortunately, that this stronghold doesn't stay with the wound and those original emotions. These will lead us to having certain thoughts. I can't have something like this happen to me and then not think about it. I'm going to need to start to process this situation. I'm going to start to try to understand and make sense of what happened to me. So in my sucker punches, I'm going to have some of these different thoughts. I might have a thought, I will get you back. When I got hit on the play yard, that's what I thought. I'm going to get this guy back. So that might be a thought we deal with. We might deal with, why did I deserve this? I might have the thought, I hate you. You did this to me. I hate you. I might have a thought, I'll never let that happen again. Or I might have the thought, I need to prove myself now. I was humiliated. I was embarrassed somehow, so now I need to prove myself. All of these thoughts happen as we are dealing with this original wound that was never healed. Does this make sense so far? Good. Okay. The thoughts, after I think something long enough, I'm going to start to act. My actions are going to come from my thoughts and my emotions that happened because of this situation. So my actions might be, if I have this thought, I will get you back, I might start to ruminate on revenge. I might think, what could I do? How could I get him or her back? And I start thinking about it, and I start working over it. I might take action. I got an opportunity, bam, I got him back. Felt good. Another thought, why did I deserve this? I might start to really ruminate and think about what happened. Why did I deserve this? Did I do something? Was this my fault? And I'd let my mind just churn over and over. I'm churning and churning and churning. And in the longer my mind works through this situation until healing comes, I'm not going to find peace. And so if I can't find peace, I'm going to get lost in some of these, in these emotions. Now, if you are living with this, if this was your sucker punch, and you had these thoughts going on, and you had some of these different actions that started, that you started to move into, what would you guess would be some of the moods that this person is now dealing with? What moods? Go, just shout them out. Anger. Revenge. What is it? Sadness, yes. What else? Bitterness, yes. Self-doubt, yeah. Yeah. If you lump all of those things together, we would call that what? Depression. How many people in our world are living with a depression that is based on just not forgiving people? Oh my goodness. I choose not to forgive for a lot of reasons. I don't choose not to forgive because I want to live with depression. But that's the outcome. That's the consequence of living in unforgiveness. And I would suggest to you that this is absolutely not God's best for us. And not only is this not God's best, He provides a way out if we are willing to walk into obedience and operate in a way that honors Him and is obedient to Him. But we have to choose. We have to choose if that's how we're going to handle this. Or if we're going to live with, if I could just get him back. If I could just get her back. Okay, so some of us asked for a tool. Here's where we're going to start. If you have your Bibles, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Now, on your worship program, you should have just a big blank space. What I would challenge you to do as we are working through this, begin writing down some of these sucker punches that you have dealt with. Because Once you understand how to walk into forgiveness, I'm telling you, this works with anything that you will ever go through. The process that God gives us will work in any situation. Hopefully there's an amen in there somewhere. Because God provides what we need if we are willing to just listen to him and do what he says. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says this: the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Stronghold. What God gives us are weapons that can destroy this. If we choose to operate under his plan. And because it says, what kind of power does that say that we have? Divine power. Divine comes from where? God. God-given power to attack this thing and take it apart. That's what we have available to us. So then he goes on. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. If this person who is living just with this one, and there are probably other strongholds that this person is living with, when this person hears the message, God loves you, what is that person going to say? Not a chance. That's right. That is an argument that he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Now we have a tool. The prayer that he gave us right here is effective and powerful to begin to dismantle this stronghold if we want to use it. And I'm going to keep saying that over and over and over, because so often we know what we have to do, but we choose not to. So he says, I want to be able to start taking these thoughts, like he said, I want to take these thoughts captive and make these thoughts obedient to Christ. How do I do that? How do I start to take these thoughts captive and make these thoughts obedient to Christ? There are three steps in forgiveness. And what I want you to write these down. These are going to be really, really important if you are dealing with unforgiveness. The first step, and this is the process, like Nikki talked about last week, forgiveness is a process, and there are lots of decisions to be made throughout the process. The first decision that needs to be made is that I need to choose to operate, I just spit all over the place, I need to choose to operate under God's authority, and I need to point my energy towards him. I need to decide that God is powerful enough to start taking out this stronghold. Because if I don't believe that, if I believe that I have to be the one to deal with this, it's not going to work. I have to choose that I am going to go to God to deal with this. So I decide to take my wound and my healing process to God, and I quit trying to medicate myself. I quit trying to make myself comfortable. These emotions are painful. These emotions motivate me to action. Now, these emotions can push me into a bottle. These emotions can push me into a carton of cigarettes. These emotions can push me into images on a screen. These emotions can take me to a lot of different places to just shut them up. I can't take the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts. I can't deal with those things, so I want to numb them out somehow. I have to decide I'm not going to be my own little g God and take care of myself. I am going to choose to take this problem to God and not loan him the problem. Because we like to loan God our problems. God, here, you take it. You're not working fast enough. I'll take it back. That is not giving our problems to God. If I'm going to give my problem to God, I'm going to put him in his feet. I'm going to brush my hands off. I'm going to stick my hands in my pocket so that I don't pick it back up again. And I'm going to let him work in his timing, doing things his way. That is giving our issues to God. We don't pick them back up. Regardless of what the emotions are screaming at me in my mind, I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to let God deal with it. And I'm going to choose not to go back. I'm also, after part of this first step, is I'm going to point my healing, my desire for healing to God, and I'm also going to choose that I am not going to do this thought, and I'm not going to do these things anymore. Now, are we ever going to get this 100% right? No, because we are human. That's right. But I can choose that as much as I am able to, when I have thoughts, I will get you back. Why do I deserve this? I hate you. As soon as those thoughts come through my mind, that's the time I pray, God, I want to take this thought captive. I want to make this thought obedient to you. I don't want any part of this thought. And then it comes back. Yeah, but I hate you. No, no, no. I take that thought captive. I make this thought obedient to you. I don't want any part of this thought. Every time these thoughts go through our heads, we can choose to obey the plan that God has given us, and we take the thoughts captive, and we make the thoughts obedient to Christ. And guess what? It works. It works. Because whose plan is it? God's plan, because we find it where? In the Bible. So we know that it's God's plan, and we know that it works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there. But we have to trust the process. I can't say, God, you know, I take this thought captive, I make this thought obedient to you, but I really feel good when I hate him. I don't get to do both. I have to choose. Do I want to control, or do I want to give God control? Do I want God's comfort, or do I want to comfort myself? I don't get both. I have to choose. So step one is I want to knock these things out. Because as I knock these things out, as I eliminate these thoughts, and this works. For those of you who are in EQIP, or for those of you who have gone through counseling and you have done this and you are taking your thoughts captive and you see it works, put your hands up. Look around. You see? It works. This works. As we are eliminating these thoughts, and as we are asking for forgiveness and choosing not to go into these actions, what have we just isolated? The sucker punch. We have now isolated the sucker punch. If I'm going to, before I isolate this thing, before I start taking these thoughts captive, as soon as I start thinking about this event, where does my mind go? Right down the rabbit trails. I can't deal with this when I'm out here in the rabbit trails. Can't do it. I have to be able to hone in on this. And God will bring me here, but I've got to knock these things out. And this is God's expectation for me. That's what he wants me to do. This is obedience, taking these thoughts captive and making the thoughts obedient to him. Can we do this? A lot of confidence. Yes, I hope you can do this, because this is, God doesn't give us something, he doesn't ask us to do something that we're not capable of. That would be a cruel God. We are capable of this. And he shows it to us again, because that's what the word says. That's what the Bible tells us to do. When we do this, it'll work. So step one, take our desire for healing to God, and then ask him to begin to knock out these thoughts by taking the thoughts and use those words. He gives us those words for a purpose. I don't need to add anything to it. I don't need to take anything away from it. God, I take this thought captive and I make this thought obedient to you. I don't want this thought anymore. Use the words that he's given to us. That's step one. Now, very interesting. There are three very, very powerful one-line prayers that Jesus prays when he's on the cross, while he is hanging on the cross. And I'll look at the first one of these. This is in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. So if you got your Bible, flip over to Matthew 27, 45 and 46. Matthew 27, 45 to 46 says this: from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is wrestling with the immense physical and emotional pain that he's going through. Where does he take his pain to? The Father, God the Father. He directs his pain at God the Father. He spoke directly to God. And that's this model. When we are hurting, we go to God. We don't get the conversations in our heads going, well, if he was here, this is what I'd tell him. Well, if she was here, this is what I'd just let her have. Boy, if I could go back and do that again, this is what I'd say. And I'd do. All of that stuff is so unhelpful. It takes us back to places where there's no healing there. That's where we're going back to trying to be the judge and the jury in our minds for someone else, and we don't get that. That's not for us to do. That's God's job. I don't get to do that. I don't get healing from taking my wounds to other people and trying to get sympathy from them, fishing for sympathy. It's nice to have people sympathize with us, but there's no healing there. Healing only comes from God. It's nice to have support, and it's amazing for us to be able to support each other. But in our support for each other, we need to be pointing each other back to our healer, not trying to heal each other and not trying to get healing from getting sympathy from other people. There's no healing there. Only God can heal us. These thoughts and the emotions need to be brought before God. And when these thoughts are trying to kick your butt, don't talk to the thoughts. So many times, we try to argue with these thoughts in our mind. Don't even go there. That's what Eve did in the garden. The serpent came. He started to talk to her. She messed up by engaging him in conversation. Do not engage these thoughts in conversation. Just shut them down. You have the power and the authority to shut these down, because if we are a believer, who is living inside of us? The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. So we have the authority to speak against this mess if we choose to stand in that authority. We don't engage these thoughts in conversation, because when we do that, it's going to take us down that rabbit trail that's only going to lead to more frustration. So we take our thoughts captive and we make those thoughts obedient to Christ. All right, that was step one. Step two, after we begin attacking our thought life and eliminating the negative thought patterns, we will notice that these actions, guess what's going to start to happen? What do you think is going to start to happen? If I knock these thoughts out, everything south of these thoughts are going to what? That's right, it's just going to start to clear up. That's the way that this works. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to all clear up and everything's going to be, you know, peachy and rainbows, but the power that kept me tied to these negative thoughts, as these thoughts go away, what else is going to start to go away? The emotions. The emotions are going to start to fade too. I want to be able to knock these out, because then everything else is going to start to lose its power over my life. As we see these actions, these habits, because over time, if we don't get these things cleared up, our actions will start to turn into beliefs. And so, like, maybe I have this thought, I'll never let that happen again. After I start to live in these ways, I take self-defensive measures, I ruminate on the experience so as not to forget. This can become a belief that says, I will make myself invincible. I will make myself impenetrable. And I'm probably going to do that through lots of different ways of isolating. And over time, these beliefs will turn into habits and lifestyles if I don't stop them. So as we start to attack these things, I might have some of these bad habits kinds of things that continue to linger. For those of us who are hooked on porn or hooked on cigarettes or hooked on anything that's polluting our bodies, we don't have to have that. That is not normal for us as believers. We should be walking in freedom. We should be walking in freedom. This is the power that God gives to us. If we choose to eliminate all of this stuff you know what I'm saying? I get worked up about this because I see people in my office week after week after week, and we just keep struggling with the same stuff. And we don't have to keep struggling with the same stuff. Freedom should be the norm for us as believers. That should be normal. So we started attacking these thought patterns. The emotions will start to die away. The actions will start to die away. I've got to let the actions go. And that might be finding someone that can hold me accountable. That might be saying to someone, you know what, I've got this habit and I can't kick it. Would you please be an accountability partner for me? With God's help and with the help of a brother or a sister, there's nothing that we can't eliminate from our lives. That's what we were designed to do, to walk in freedom. Now, once I get to that point where I have isolated this wound, now I'm able to do what needed to be done in the first place, which is truly mourn my loss. That's what needed to happen in the first place. But I can't mourn my loss when I'm going in such self-defensive directions. There's no way I can mourn my loss, because I'm more interested in fighting or hiding. I need to be able to mourn this, and this is where God brings me in his timing as I knock these things out, as I cooperate with the Holy Spirit and eliminate these things. He will bring me to this point. It's almost like he pokes a hole in this wound. All the emotions drain out. That's the rush of emotions. That's all that heavy crying. Some people say, I don't want to go here because I'm going to start crying and I don't feel like I'll ever stop. I'll just cry forever. You won't cry forever. You will heal. This is an infection in our soul. God desires to heal the infection. But in order for the healing to come, we have to lance the wound and drain all of the stuff out. And that's what he wants to do, because he loves us. He doesn't want to see us live in this. So that's step two. I start to mourn the loss when he brings me there, which leads to, the second one-line prayer that Jesus prays on the cross, Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then they divided up his clothes by casting lots. When Jesus prayed that, did any of those tormentors of his ask for his forgiveness? Zero. Nobody asked for his forgiveness. He forgave because out of his love, but because it was obedience. He forgave those people because not because they asked for it, because it was obedience to forgive. Well, I don't want to forgive him. I don't want to forgive her. They deserve to have me angry with them the rest of my life. Maybe so. But you know what? That's you and me standing in front of Jesus being crucified. We don't deserve to have him forgive us for all the mess that we've created, but he still does. Forgiveness is obedience. We do it because we are choosing to obey the God who died for us. Which really, really stinks when we don't have answers for the question, why? Why did this happen to me? Why? We so badly want the question, why? And so often, that's the question that's never answered. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. We can still choose to trust God, even though we don't have our why answered. That happens as we knock these things out. We see what the enemy has built into our minds, and we say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being controlled. It doesn't say that what they did was okay. It doesn't say we're letting them off the hook. It's saying, I'm tired of being a slave to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And we can walk through this process of forgiveness, which takes us to the third step, which is in Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. No, I already said that, didn't I? I already said that. Luke 23, verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. We have to get to a point where we say, it's not up to me to bring vengeance or to get even or to even heal this myself. God, I commit my life to you. You take me. I trust you because I can't figure this out on my own. When we're able to get to that point where we turn everything over to God, now we have moved to a point where we are now able to forgive. Regardless of how deep the wound is, regardless of who did it, we can now choose to forgive. This is why, like Nikki said last week, why forgiveness is primarily between me and God. Because I have to trust him. I have to trust that he is going to take care of that person who wounded me so deeply. And I have to trust him that he can adequately take care of my heart and my mind. And what's really, really interesting, there's another really cool thing that happened while Jesus was on the cross, suffering, dying. There was a man, there were two men on both sides of him. There was a guy on both sides. Both of them were thieves. One of them was casting insults on him, just like all the people who were crucifying him. The other one, you remember what he said? When you go into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus was able to minister to this man while he was suffering. Because there was someone else who was suffering with the same thing. When we get to the point where we have isolated this wound, and we're no longer in all of this self-defensive stuff, we can come alongside other people who are hurting in the same ways that we are. In and we can minister to them in ways that no one else can. Because they will feel a vulnerability with us because we relate to each other. I've talked with people who have gone through horrendous things that people don't put animals through. And they walk through a place to be able to heal and forgive. And they get on the other side and they say, number one, I never want to go through anything like that again. But on the other hand, I am so glad that I now have the ability to talk to someone else who has gone through what I went through, because I can point them to God in a way that nobody else can. There is beauty in pain if we are willing to walk through the process that God gives us. Every single one of us can do that. On your Connect card, there's on the back of it, there's a spot where you can check counseling. If you see this and you say, yep, I see that this is a spot, I need something, I need this, but I don't think I can do it on my own, check that little box that says counseling. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come right up here when the service is done, or I'm going to go back there, and I want you to bring that Connect card with you. I want you to give it to me. And I will take the Connect card, and I will call you this afternoon. I will call you this afternoon. Now, if I call you, please answer. If you don't answer because you don't recognize my phone number, no problem, call me back. Lots of times people will check, I want counseling, and when I call them, they don't answer and they don't ever call back. You can't get help if you don't call back. So if that's you, or you can online, if that you can do the same thing. Just make a note that you want some counseling, I'll give you a call. There is hope. There is hope to forgive things that you never thought you'd be able to, or to heal from things that you never thought you could heal from. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we're so thankful that you... We are so thankful that you are a God who is able to identify with our pain. We are so thankful that you are a God who feels and has felt the same thing that we do, same things that we do. And we are so thankful that you are a God who can bring healing and freedom into areas that we never thought were possible. So God, right now, as we finish up this time together, I pray that you would bring people in this room and people who are watching online to a place where they desire freedom. And they're willing to step out in faith that you will meet them there. And so, Father, I pray that anybody that you are leading in that direction this morning, that you would meet them there right now, and you would reassure them that you are there, that you have never left them. Even if they don't know why what happened to them happened, that you would help them recognize that you are still there, and you will continue to be there. God, lead us all in that to that place of being willing to trust you and letting you fill us with your love for us. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jim. really good stuff. I hope that you have been learning a lot through this series of forgiving. I know I personally have. It's been a great series for us as we move forward in things. I think the thing that Pastor Jim said that I liked the most was freedom should be the norm with us as believers, right? That it's Satan that wants us to stay in this spot right here, and it's Jesus himself that says, I love you, you're mine, I don't want you to stay there, I don't want you to stay in that hurt. Freedom should be the norm with us as believers. I pray that all of us can take that message with us and apply that as we go from here this week. Just a few things before we head out this morning. The first one is our Connect card. So that's at the very bottom of your worship program. You tear that part off. Again, if you're a first-time person here with us, make sure you take that Connect card to the Welcome Center right in front of you as you exit the auditorium. We have a gift for you. If you put that you want counseling on that, Pastor Jim will be standing in the back of the auditorium this morning. You can hand that card directly to him. As he said, he will give you a call this afternoon. But there's lots of things that are on that Connect card, growth track and small groups and growth classes, even decisions that you've made. You can share prayer requests on your Connect card as well. Make sure you fill that out, even if it just has your name on it. We just want to know everybody that's here. Those of us that you joined us online, mynewhope.tv/connect, you can go scan that code there. But all of us should do something with this Connect card today, okay, and turn that in for us. That'd be great. We have an event that we can, something that we can do to serve our community. It's this coming Saturday, December 4th. It's called Christmas in Shreve. There's information about it on your worship program. If you would like to help us with that, some of you have signed up to help us with that. If you've not already signed up, on your Connect card, there's a little box, and it says Christmas in Shreve Outreach Event. Just check that. I know those of you that checked it this last Sunday, we did put that you're willing to help. One of us will be contacting you this coming week to give you information about that. But if that's something that you're interested in helping, make sure you check that, and one of us will be contacting you this week about that event. We have something really fun coming up. It's called our Women's Christmas event. Go ahead and watch actually me on this video.
One of the most fun events that we do here at New Hope Church all year long is called the Women's Christmas Event. That's right, I'm talking to you ladies. If you're a lady out there, you're going to want to come to this event. But don't just bring yourself. You're going to want to bring all your girlfriends, your mom, your sisters, your coworkers. If you have lady friends that are neighbors, they are going to want to come too. If they're a lady, they should be here at this event. It's going to be so much fun. It's on Friday evening, December 10th. The doors open at 6:30. Event starts at 7 o'clock. Now, every year we pick one word that we revolve the whole entire evening around that one word, and that word this year is the word grace. We're going to be talking about grace, but not only going to talk about it, we're going to be doing a craft. We're going to be eating Christmas cookies. We're going to sing Christmas songs. We're going to have a skit. We're going to have so much fun together on that night. You definitely want to come. So before you leave today, make sure you go out into the lobby area where you can get your free ticket for you and all of your friends. Grab a free ticket. However, this night, we also do something to give to our community, and we always choose the Women's Pregnancy Care Center of Worcester. The Pregnancy Care Center of Worcester, we throw them one of the largest baby showers that they receive all year long through this event, just from your donations. So grab a free ticket, grab a donation seat for the Pregnancy Care Center of Worcester, put it on your calendar, Friday, December 10th, it starts at 7. We hope to see you there.
Okay, so there's a table in our cafe lobby area, so if you're a female, make sure that you check that out before you leave today. Last thing I have today is we are going to be doing a baptism again on Sunday, December 12th. We love celebrating baptisms here at New Hope. If that's not something that you have done, you've not yet been baptized, make sure that you check the box on your Connect card for that. We'll get you information, and you can be baptized on Sunday, December 12th. Pastor Tim, what do you have for us today?
Hey. All right. Few things. One, I just want to say thank you to a few people because isn't our church beautiful right now? It got all Christmassified up, and how many have your Christmas decorations up? Show hands. Okay, a few of you. How many are doing it today? All right. We are too. All right. So it's kind of tradition, right, after Thanksgiving, but we're grateful for Sarah Reith. She does all the decorations and stuff out in the lobby and throughout the building out there. We're grateful for Paula Reeves and Sandy Strait doing the decorations on the stage and making it look all Christmassy. And we're grateful also for Don Wiles, who builds these awesome giant nativity sets. And he sells them, and he donates the money for those sales actually to the church. And we're grateful for that ministry. And he made one for us that's out front. So if you want something like that, we can connect you. And we're grateful for Don for that, and Jason for putting it together for us. So just a bunch of people to say thank you to. Grateful that we can celebrate Christmas. One other winter thing I'm grateful for is John Hirschberger, who filled a pothole. Thank you, John. So if you go out the lane, you won't like hit a huge pothole anymore. So grateful for all those who give their time and donate. And that's what we do around here in New Hope. People give, people serve, they volunteer. The majority of what we do, it comes from us as a church's body as a whole. And we're grateful for the faithfulness of our church body to do all these things that we get to do in ministry and to be blessed that way. I want to talk about giving, because each week we get to give, and it's a part of our worship. It's a part of what we're asked to do as a church. And I wanted to read 2 Corinthians 9 as Paul was talking to the church in Corinth. This is what he said to them, starting verse 6. He said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." We see this picture in the New Testament that when we live generously, we experience generosity, like in all of its forms. It's not give to get. That's actually greed. That's the opposite. It's giving and then get to experience the blessing attached to it. And so when you give to New Hope, you're part of that story. You're part of the body, being the body together and ministering to each other and ministering to what we get to do here as a church together. So I just want to say thank you to the church for doing that every week. You know, we have opportunities for you to do that, to give generously. A couple of ways that we do giving here at New Hope, we don't pass a plate for offering or anything like that, but we have these teal boxes in the back of the room. And if you see the envelopes and the chairs around you, you can put an offering in an envelope and put them in the teal box along with your Connect card on your way out. Or you can give digitally. You know, it says scan me right there. So you can do it on your phone or on your computer. And we have safe, secure process for giving that way. And a lot of people do it that way, which is, you know, makes it really convenient and easy. Something that we move into every year at the end of the year is our year-end Christmas offering, which is a special offering. It's kind of above and beyond just our normal gifts. And we use that in a couple of ways. We use that to help us end the year well with our budget. And this year we've been a little bit behind. We got through the summer, but we were a little bit behind. And our goal is to end in a positive with our budget. So a big part of that goes towards that, us really being able to end well as a church financially. And then we also use a generosity piece of that. And we give 20% of that offering back to our global impact initiatives, our missionaries that we sponsor, the Connells, who work with the Latin America and Caribbean and all throughout that region. And just awesome God stuff happening there. And then also Kevin McGee, who came and preached over the summer, helping him connect. He connects local churches with ministries all throughout the world and helps multiply our efforts as a movement through Converge International Ministries. And so we give to them at the end of the year, too, and they get blessed. Every year they're like, wow. I mean, they're really, really blessed by that. And so I want you to be doing what I just read. Pray and decide what can you do to be a part of that as well as we kind of wrap up the year together. Well, that's all I have, I think. All right, well, let's stand together, and I'm so grateful, Jim, you brought an awesome word. These are tools that we use as a church. If you haven't been through something that we call equip is a process of helping people become empowered. We go through a lot of this stuff through equip to help people go through freedom, and we're going to start that again in January. So if you're interested in taking a real journey through that, that would be something to look into, and Jim leads that and does an awesome job walking through that. So, all right, well, let's pray, and we'll head out. And so, God, as we leave here, we're grateful that you are the God of victory. Help us to proclaim that every morning, every day, that we can live in freedom because we have Christ, and Christ brings us freedom. We are forgiven, and so let us be forgiving. God, I pray that all of us in this room would not try to be doing these things in our own power, in our own strength, because our greatest strength is still a weakness. And we need your strength and presence. send us out, God, with your power of the Holy Spirit working in us to go represent heaven well and love all those around us in this season. And it's in Christ's name we pray. We said amen. Amen. Awesome. God bless, guys.